Jay Horowitz here at a special edition of Amazing Conversations with country music famer Garth Brooks, who's only sold over 170 million records. Of course, I was going to give you a treat, but maybe not. I have my guitar you gave me 24 years ago when you came to the Met Spring training.
Yep.
How about, can I do the dance, Serenade you a little bit? Now, you don't want me to do that, I guess, huh? I'll let you do the singing and I'll answer some of the questions. Is that all right? But this guitar is in good shape and I got to start to learn some music, I guess, but I'll try. But listen, 24 years ago this spring, you were in Mets camp. What do you remember most about the experience?
Just how great it was. You know, New Yorkers always get this bad reputation of not being nice to each other. And it was one of the most fun things that I'd ever enjoyed in my life. Fans were great. And I can call them fans because they're baseball fans. They weren't fans of Garth Brooks. They were fans of the Mets. So it was cool to see. They were out there every morning. And come on, man. I got to play with some of the greatest names that will ever grace the Hall of Fame or the game itself. And I got to learn a lot. And Valentine was one of those guys that just stuck you right in the middle of the hardest situations. I learned so much and laughed so much. It's still some of my greatest memories.
You know what I remember most, Garth? How you... Every day after workouts, we set up a little booth for you, signed for the fans. Never left anybody untold. You took care of everybody. I was there, and you know, I've been with the Mets for 44 years. Probably greatest spring training I've ever had. I've ever enjoyed. You never missed a one.
Yeah, man, it was fun. I didn't wear myself out with the other stuff like hitting and fielding like the other guys did, right? So I had some energy left over to sign. That was kind of my thing. The year before, I was lucky enough to be a teammate with Tony Gwynn. And the last thing he said to me was, thanks for doing it right. So I realized what my place was, how lucky I was at Major League Baseball and a team like the New York Mets would allow us to launch a foundation off their back for kids. And we're celebrating our 25th anniversary.
Teammates for Kids. We're glad to be part of it. But I got to contribute to one thing. I spoke to Todd Zeal today. Yeah. And he said you were the first guy on the field, last guy to leave. You were in his hitting group, and you worked behind off. This wasn't a joke for you. You worked hard and hard and hard. And Todd remembers being in his hitting group with you and taking throws for your third base.
Yeah, man, he was he was a dear friend of me. Remember, Ola Root had just left, and Neil came in, and he was kind of the new guy. I was the new guy. He took me under his wing, and it was sweet. Hampton was the new guy then too. Ventura was the old college buddy that got me on there. So it was fun. Everybody treated me like a player. Everybody treated me like a teammate. And that was awesome. I learned so much about how to treat other people from that 3 months of my life. And I will tell you this, it was more like 8 weeks, maybe 10 weeks, but it was probably some of the most educational 10 weeks I'd ever spent.
Todd told me you still stay in touch with him. And he said that you did a charity thing for his diabetes foundation. Todd went to see him in Vegas a little while ago.
Yeah, he's great. And his boy is so talented too, playing music and stuff. So it's fun to watch. And Zeal, you know, you love him and you hate him because you love him because he's Todd Zeal, sweetest guy in the world. You hate him because he looks exactly like he did in 2000 still, you know. So beautiful kid inside and out. I was lucky to get to be a friend with him and the rest of the Mets that year.
How was Bobby V with you?
I couldn't ask for better. And, you know, remember, man, you come from Bochy, you know, from the Padres the year before, and you get with Valentine. It's like, holy cow, I can't get more spoiled than this. Two totally different personalities, but they both loved and respected the game of baseball. So I got to learn a lot of things, man, as a fan and as a kid playing baseball. No matter how high you get up, high school, college, whatever, when you get to the pros, there's just some things that you just never knew existed until you get out there and played. And these two coaches wanted you to know that. So they stuck you out there in times when you weren't comfortable going out there.
And you know, I spoke to a couple of the guys in 2000 team the last couple of days, and they always say you blended in so easily. You were one of the guys, you know, go out to eat with him, do stuff with him. And then, you know, like he was one of the boys. He wasn't a celebrity. He wasn't Garth Brooks, Hall of Fame. He's Garth Brooks baseball player.
No, man, sitting there with these guys, giving each other shit, sitting, you know, spitting seeds. That's right down my alley, man. So I enjoyed it. I'm still sore from that training camp 24 years ago, but I'd do it again in a heartbeat, man. It was fun if my body would let me.
You weren't in Oklahoma State with Robin, right? He's a couple of years younger than you. Did you hook up with him at all there?
Yeah, well, Oklahoma State, Robin Ventura, like anywhere he goes, Robin Ventura turns into a god. And he's great. He's humble. He's fantastic. He followed Incaviglia in the lineup there at Oklahoma State. That's kind of his secret weapon. Same thing he did with the Mets following Piazza. You know, Inky or Piazza had a home run, and Ventura would drag his bat to the plate like, oh, you know, I'm not going to get to do anything. And, of course, what he'd do is he'd hit a home run right behind it. So one of the greatest players to ever play the game, but also one of the best guys you'll ever meet.
He hated to speak to the media when he did well. He always was one of my go-to guys. If he struck out three times, he said he didn't want to, never blew his own horn. But, Garth, how did you feel to go into the Oklahoma State Hall of Fame with Barry Sanders and Robin?
Well, it's great. I mean, let's talk about Oklahoma State. We all love Oklahoma State. We're all Cowboys, and we will be till the day we die. Now let's talk about the human Hall of Fame. Who else would you rather go in with? And Robin Ventura and Barry Sanders. Are you kidding me? Two of the most humble guys you'll ever met. While, oh, at the same time, two guys that probably hold records in college and pro that will never be touched.
Yeah, I mean, what did you, you know, I mean, somebody with the guys you spoke to is Franco, and Johnny told me a story that they were going, he was supposed to go with me, had to go back to Nashville down to keep Bruce Springsteen in a concert. You couldn't go, but you let them in their truck to get the boys down. I don't know if you remember that. You know,
yeah, yeah. He was great. Franco saved my life a million times because they'd let me play first base every now and then. Crazy as it was, they'd let me play first base. And he's coming off. He's going to make a pickoff move, and I'm sitting there staring right at the batter. The whole time he's going to make the pickoff move. I look up, and his arm looks like it's 20 feet because he's trying to hold on to the ball before he hits me in the head with it. And he's great, man. And what I loved about Franco is, and I'll take it with me till the day I die too, is competitiveness. Mitch was competitive, man. That's it. Was just, it was you or him, and most of the time he was the one that won. So it was just yet another one of those pages in that spring training that still sticks with me and still drives me whenever I need that competition edge or I need that humble edge, whatever. You got plenty of guys to choose from.
Yeah, you were a bonding for us that year. You know, after his big training, we went to Japan. We went on to win the pennant that year, and I know the guys wanted to make sure you got a ring. You still have it someplace, NL championship ring?
Yeah, so what happens is if you're not cut from the roster, you get whatever that team happens that year.
Right.
You got to Japan 2 or 3 days early, so camp broke 2 or 3 days early. I never got cut. So my name's on the roster. Ventura finds me in Nashville about midway through the season. He says we're in a slump, so I went up to Cincinnati. You guys took him into extra innings. Zeal hit the home run to win it all. And here came the thing. So I got kind of confused as a good luck charm for you guys. You made it all the way to the series, and you're down 0-2 when you guys call me to come up to the series. So I come up there for game three. I'm late getting up there. Everyone's bitching at me, yelling, "When are you late?" And when you guys parted and showed me my locker with all my gear, told me to suit up, I started crying. But then I shit myself sitting out there with a lighter. And those guys playing catch out there, warming up for the World Series game. And that was the one game that the Mets actually won. So it was fun to get to be a part of that team.
You know, in addition to that 2001 team, we had the 9/11 hit New York. And with a great bunch of guys to deal with the tragedy in New York, you know, Zeal, Ventura, Leiter, Franco. It was just a great group of guys that carried over to the following year when, you know, when the towers went down. It was a good thing to be part of. Guys, tell me, look at your thing. You got a track scholarship to Oklahoma State?
Yeah, I was lucky enough. My brother was an All-American, and he was a hurdler there, and he got me a partial scholarship to throw. I played quarterback in center field, so I threw things. So he gave me a javelin. And so went and entered a couple of AAU meets. I was lucky enough to do well in both of them. So I was offered a scholarship and for 4 years. But it's sports, man. It's an instant family. I was around guys that, you know, our town was really small and really not diverse at all. And I was around all different kinds of people from different countries, different racial backgrounds, everything. And it was the first time for me. So it was a beautiful thing. You're instant family. You're wearing those colors. You're a team. And the same thing happens no matter how old you get. You've been out on tour with us, Jay. You've seen us. We run everything like a team. We have team dinners. We do all that simply because what you learn in college and professional sports.
You know, what to say too is Turk Wendell. I spoke to him yesterday. He told me a story that one time you were having a little Chinese food with Rick Reeder and him in a small place, and the whole place came over to you, and You didn't miss a beat. Stood up, took your hat off, and signed for everybody in the place. Turk's a big fan.
They were very sweet. Port St. Lucie was like a second home for me there, and everybody took care of me there. I was always at somebody's house having dinner or something there. They were very, very sweet. We were cutting the last album of the decade at that time, an album called Scarecrow. And it was fun to get that break, listen to that music, play some baseball, then get back and kind of get back to what I did.
I remember you had a party at your house. We sung some songs for the boys at the end of spring. You know, when that was a thing. Everybody still remembers that.
Yeah, that's fun because, you know, the whole spring training, they're telling you, Brooks, don't quit your day job. So when you break out the guitar, these guys want to sing and play. It's fun to, when they're done, everybody's impressed. You look at them and go, don't quit your day job. It's fun to give each other shit and give each other love all at the same time.
Do you still follow the Mets a little bit, Garth? I mean, I know you have other stuff going, but do you still?
No, man. I'm a huge fan of baseball. I have ever since I was a baby. Roberto Clemente was my guy. He was a god to me. And when he passed away when I was 10 years old around there, and I promised him that day that we would do some kind of foundation with baseball and sports. It took me a while, but in 1999, we launched Teammates for Kids and keep up with all kinds of sports. Baseball is my thing that I can go to and just go to a game and relax. I love baseball. I love to talk baseball. I love to watch baseball. I love to learn baseball. So yeah, I'm very, very interested.
I remember it's still going, right? It's the 25th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Our guys used to have a show in Vegas, and a lot of the guys would go there and watch you perform. And, you know, I know you got a lot of our guys were partners in that with you. I remember.
Yeah, man. Great, great teammates, and continue to do so because, you know, you talk about guys like Paul Goldsmith, maybe one of the greatest guys on the planet, helped us launch the Zone in Arizona. Then he got traded to St. Louis. Now he's helping us there. Just good, good guys. And they all come from the world of baseball. And you know, the Mets were very much a part of that. Everybody from Piazza on, everybody was just really, really sweet. I still talk to Vance every now and then. And you're lucky.
He's a coach with the Royals now.
Yeah.
You know what you have to come in line with, guys? I know you do a lot of stuff in charity. You got the Kennedy Honors a little while ago. All these guys you mentioned realized it was more than playing, just hitting on the field and doing that. They all wanted to give back just like you do.
Yeah, man, but that's a great thing. That sport, hockey, football, basketball, you know, I think the athletes get a bad rap because people think they're playing for money. But the truth is they're playing because they're kids and they played it for the same food money that they played for kids, you know, kind of thing. But at the same time, these guys are heroes, man. They're heroes to me and you, grown people. These guys are heroes to and to a nation. You mentioned it, 2001, the Subway Series, you know, for New York with the Twin Towers tragedy. These guys were our heroes and continue to be still. When I see footage of that game, this starts happening, man.
Me too. And I'm an old guy, Garth. You know, and
I just love baseball players, man. They've always kind of been our thing. You know, it was Field of Dreams when he says it was baseball, Ray. When he says that speech, I start crying because I believe it 100%.
What was your reaction? You're getting along with Big Mike Piazza. Did you guys by play with him?
Mike was great. Mike's a drummer. So
yeah, that's right. Kinda, yeah, he is.
That's where we kind of locked up real good. You watch him hit and you go, man, I wish I could hit like that, but you never can, but you can learn so much from him. But the dude was just sweet as he could be. And he was sweet to new guys, veteran guys. He was a great teammate.
Well, you know, before I met you, Garth, I was a doo-wopper guy. You know, I was a Nino in the Ebb-Tides, the Four Seasons, Frankie Valli. You converted me to country. So that's your legacy with me. I got my guitar. You know, next time we meet, I'm going to play a little song for you. Maybe we can do a duet.
Jay, I'm actually going to hold you to it, man. I can't tell you how much I love you, how much I miss you. I'm so happy to talk to you today. And it brings. Yeah,
I really appreciate your time. Listen, I know you're crazy. You have a lot of Garth Brooks here in the city. If you're ever in New York, we'd be honored to have you stop by, watch a game, and say hello to some of the guys here.
I'm going to take you up on it, Hoss. I love it.
Thanks for your time, and have a happy New Year, Garth. Thanks, man. I appreciate your time, man. Thanks.